The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome back to The Fighter versus The Writer. I'm Damon Martin. He is Matt Brown. And Matt, we are back after another UFC pay-per-view, and we are 1 week closer to the Immortal making his return to the Octagon on May 13th. So not far away.
We can't wait either. 8 weeks out.
Does it feel real now? Does it feel really real?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how it kind of works. You know, it doesn't really feel that even like it's, you know, when you're like 12 weeks out, it's so far away. You're like, I don't want to do too much, you know, burn myself out or whatever. You're kind of just getting that base conditioning. And now, yeah, things are getting real. Like, you know, we're doing more Shark Tank rounds. Guys are coming, you know, a lot of my training partners, you know, they're getting ready for their things, getting together. They're getting into shape and kicking my ass as much as they can. And yeah, it's ramping up now, man. It's fun.
In your head at this point, how many times have you punched Court McGee in the face?
I've done everything to him. So that you mentioned, you said punch, and I'm like, well, that's one of the many things. That was the pause, right? That was one of the many things that I'm going to do to him.
Punch, elbow, knee. How many times do you imagine just obliterating Court McGee at this point?
Every day, bro.
I love it.
Every day. That's the way it works. Start getting this close to the fight, you can't think about anything else. That's why I've never done podcasts before, right? Every time we start doing a podcast, I'm like, bro, you know, I'm getting a little close, you know. I'm, you know, obviously, like, I'm a little bit older now and I'm a little more relaxed about it, but for the most part, you can't think about anything else, man. There's nothing else on your mind. Every single thing you're doing, it's hard to do, like, relationship stuff. It's hard to do something, just hang out with your friends. Like, everything is just, let's get ready for this fight.
Yeah, well, I wrangled you into the podcast. Now I was like, dude, you're doing the podcast, we're doing it every week, and thankfully you said that this has actually become a bit of a retreat for you a little bit to just kind of get your mind off of it. So, like, this works out well. And I, like I said, this is the first time we're doing this into a fight camp, because when we tried to do it before, it never worked out very well. But I think it's going to be cool this time, because I'm going to come up to the gym. We're going to do some cool stuff leading into the fight. And yeah, I think it'll be fun. Like I said, trust me, I'm not a fighter, not going to pretend I'm a fighter, but I do know talking to a lot of fighters, and they say, like, sometimes you just got to get your head away from it for like an hour, you know, just like get your, you know, get away from it a little bit. And I guess this is your vacation from punching things for a few hours, and then, you know, for a couple hours, then we do a podcast.
To some extent, yeah. Yeah, but you know, we're still talking, so it's only so much of a vacation. But, you know, I'm really getting into educating and coaching a lot more. You know, I have a lot of fights left. Like, I'm not going to make another run for the title, so I know what it is, you know. So right now, doing things like this, like, I'm building that those next steps. You know, maybe it could be a podcaster, right? Maybe we do this and, you know, get rich doing this. Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm building towards the next things. And you know, sorry, with that in the back of my mind, you know, I'm also a lot more relaxed about things too. knowing that I'm not searching for a title, knowing that I'm not going out, you know, trying to get the just the toughest, you know, just beating, you know, trying to fight the toughest guys every time. So there's a little bit of relaxation to that. Like, look, you know, I'm doing this for fun now. I'm doing it because I love it, and I'm doing it to inspire younger people, the next generation, my own kids, of course, and the kids in my gym. So with the motivation being a little different, it makes a platform like this much more excitable to do.
Yeah, absolutely. We did the Ask Matt Brown segment last week, and you did talked about an answer, you know, when you said, you know, when you're down, how do you come out of it? You know, I don't want to paraphrase the question, but a lot of responses to that. A lot of people were like kind of inspired by that and said like how cool that answer was. And I thought it was amazing as well. So this is an opportunity where people who can't come into the gym and train with you on a daily basis, or don't live in Ohio or whatever the case may be, or they just don't know you in that way, or, you know, 180 characters on Twitter doesn't do the job. This is a chance for you to kind of reach out to those people and answer questions and kind of reach people on a different level. And obviously we talk about fights and other stuff too, but it's a good platform to talk to people and reach people you wouldn't normally reach.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. You know, I tweeted the other day, I don't know if you've seen it, where I was like, I was such a fucking idiot 10 years ago. Like, am I going to think the same thing about me in another 10 years? And I'm sure most people think that, but just the amount of knowledge that I feel like I've acquired in the past few years, you know, not to devolve too much into my personal life, but, you know, went through a lot of different things in the last few years, and just the knowledge that I've gained and the confidence that I've built. And I look back and I'm like, dude, like, I'm the one who's limited myself. So it good feeling to inspire others not to limit themselves. And if I can bring that to the world, then, you know, a little part to make this world a better place. You know, I'm probably not going to run for president or anything to make the world a better place, and I don't think Damon would vote for me. So I'm going to have to try to inspire people another way.
Now, here's a question for you, Matt, because I had this experience last week. You know how they send you on Facebook, they send you like Facebook reminders of like a photo you posted a decade ago, or, you know, here's your video from 15, whatever it is. I got a photo the other day, and it's like 7-8 years old. It's not that old, maybe like 7-8 years old, but it was you, me, and our buddy Jeremy Loper, and we did a radio spot at the casino here in Columbus. Do you remember that? That was like 7-8 years ago. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was a St. Patty's Day party, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the photo pulled up from your memory, and I looked the way I was dressed, and I didn't really think I was dressed that much differently than I dressed today. But like, even that, I was like, oh my god, why did I wear that shirt? Like, why? So even that little thing like that, seeing a memory from like 7-8 years ago, I was like, oh my god. Now here, be honest, because Matt, everyone thinks of you as this savage, just fucking badass Matt Brown. What's the most embarrassing haircut, T-shirt, any proof that's out there of Matt Brown that you'd be embarrassed to see at this point in your life?
Oh man, I should post a picture of it if I really want to be a glutton for punishment and just hate myself for the rest of my life. In high school, I wanted facial hair so bad. I just wanted a beard, but my beard wouldn't grow in, but my mustache did.
So you had a mustache.
So I had a mustache and I was trying to grow my hair out. Yeah. So my mom takes me to the senior picture and I need to have decent hair, look like, I don't know, like Dimebag Darrell or something. Right. She let that happen. She parts my head across the side with the mustache. It's kind of hard to explain, I think, but if you see the picture, you'll get a kick out of it. I kind of don't want to post it, but now that we're talking about it, maybe I'll have to.
How long was the hair?
It's probably close to my ears.
And it parted right down the middle.
Not right down the middle, you know, like,
oh, okay, side part.
Like,
yeah.
Traditional, you know, old school. You know, my mom's, you know, she's old school, right? So, you know, she wanted that nice book. And I'm, you know, so it was a bad look, bro.
Dude, I need to see this photo. I need to see this photo. I'm just telling, dude, I have plenty of embarrassing photos I could share, but you know, we need to see this photo.
Like, you're asking me, I don't have that many embarrassing ones. I bet you got a plethora of fucking embarrassing things.
Okay, you don't want to hear it. No, dude, I'm not. Dude, I fully admit I do. Like, years ago when I used to run a CD store and I was working around music all the time, dude, I had, like one of your all-time favorite bands, Papa Roach. Dude, I actually had like a girl come into my store one time, and she's like, she confused me with Jacoby Shaddix, the singer, because my hair was all spiked up. I had like the giant spiked hair, like the huge like mohawk hair. Dude, it was so bad. So yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit I had some really bad haircuts of the day. When I was like, you know, full on rocker mode, man, I put some serious gel in that hair.
Dude, how long does it take to do that shit?
It honestly, like,
what's the longest you ever spent
there? You know what's weird? Actually, that took me less time than it normally takes to just like fix my hair now, when I just have like a normal, like, you know, whatever you want to call it, like a kind of a pompadour kind of look. Like, that took less time because I was literally just sticking my hair. It's like I stuck my finger in a light socket. I literally just took my head and went like this, like straight up, and it just stayed. Because you put like that like gel glue stuff, and it just makes your hair go straight up in the air. So that was actually, honestly, didn't take me much time at all, because all I was doing was literally sticking my hair straight up in the air. So it wasn't that hard. You have the easiest haircut, though. You don't have hair, so.
That's why I do it. I don't like dealing with it.
Now, here's the question, though. When retirement happens one day, and I know this is down the road, when retirement happens one day and you're, you know, you're running businesses, you got the coffee business, everything, you know, all things going on, is there a chance Matt Brown grows his hair back out again?
Of all things that I've thought about, I have thought of before. I may go, like scissors, or finger length on top scissors.
I know you had the mohawk at one point, so you know you could let that grow out and just have like a bigger, longer mohawk.
Yeah, I like the mohawk. I used to have, you know, finger length on top, even in the UFC.
Oh, I remember that. You know, it's funny. Yeah. Like a weird thing here. Facebook memory. I almost posted it because there's a stare down I have of you from a fight, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. But you had hair. I remember that. Like, it wasn't like long or anything, but you had like actual hair. Like, I can't remember which fight it was, but it popped up my Facebook memories of a photo I took of you at a weigh-in. And I was like, oh, look at Matt's hair. So yeah, you have had. I'm just starting, like, I want to see like full on like Matt Brown, like full on just like metal hair. I want to see like headbanging hair.
Yeah, that probably never happened. Doing my hair, man. Even when I had a little bit, like an inch long or whatever, like, you know, I just throw a little bit of gel and shake it up a little bit and go on, man. I don't like fucking with it. It's just a hassle. And it's kind of sucks because I'm like the hairiest fucking guy you've ever met. So I got to deal with it all the time. And I just hate it, man. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how girls do it. I feel like it'd be miserable. Like, here's my morning routine. Everybody talks about morning routine. I don't have a morning routine. I don't believe in morning routine. I get the fuck up and I go. If I have to stop there, like, I got to brush my teeth. That's enough for me right there. Brush my teeth, get some breakfast. Let's fucking go, man. That's a far better morning routine than what all these online meditation dorks, you know, they're meditating, they're ice bathing, whatever kind of stupid shit. Let's go fucking do something. Let's go straight away.
Yeah.
If I'm not out the door in 30 minutes, I'm pissed off.
I mean, do you take time to shower? Like, is that like still part of the routine?
I shower at night before I go to bed.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps you sleep better.
Yeah.
It helps you sleep better. That's one of the things, you know, if we're going to talk about camp, one of the things that has actually improved my training is I have put a huge emphasis on sleep. Everybody talks about all these different recovery things, and I go to the gym, everybody's foam rolling and all, you know, they're stretching, all this bullshit. You do the sauna, all these silly things. I love the sauna, don't get me wrong. I love the ice bath, all that stuff. I said, man, like the lowest hanging fruit is your sleep. That is the low hanging fruit for every single person on this. And I read that book, Why We Sleep, by Matthew Walker. He's been on Joe Rogan, Tim Ferriss, all the big podcasts. And it just blew me away, man. So I put a huge emphasis on sleep. I blacked out my room, bought a new mattress, new pillow, new blanket, keep it uber clean. I never go to my room until it's time to go to sleep. I read and I listen to classical music maybe an hour before bedtime. What else? You know, I don't bring my phone with me into my bedroom anymore. That was a huge, actually leave it downstairs. That was a huge one for me. You know, John of Louis, like I take a shower about 30 to 45 minutes, I'm falling asleep. And, you know, heat your body up and you cool off and you feel comfortable and clean. And it's just so much better, man.
Are you like a strict 8 hours a night kind of guy or more?
So come to find out from, again, researching a lot about it, they say that like seven and a half or nine and a half is better than eight because of the way our sleep cycles work. We go an hour and a half cycles, right? And that doesn't equal eight. So it's pretty interesting how it works. So I'm more of a 9 to 10, to be honest. I try to get sleeping the entire time. But 9 to 10 hours, I'm laying there relaxing, no phone, no books, nothing, no light. And I'm laying there the whole time.
You don't even want to know about my sleep schedule, man. You don't want to know how many hours of sleep I get a night. You would not be happy with me, Matt. It would not please you. I get like,
I'm going to read this book.
If I get 5 hours, I'm on the good side. Five to six hours is my max. That's all I ever get. Ever get more than like 6 hours. Yeah. I'm weird like that. Like I don't know what it is. It's not that I don't like sleep well. I sleep great there are some nights where I do sleep longer, but I don't know. I just have one of those like really busy minds. Like I can't, it's hard for me to fall asleep. I have to, like, I read right before I go to sleep, 'cause it's the only thing that kind of like calms my mind down. And then, I don't know. I'm just in a routine. Like I work every day. And so I'm just like, my mind wakes me up. Like I don't oversleep. I don't, you know, like I don't use an alarm, but my body just like gets me up. I don't know. It's a weird thing. 5 to 6 hours is the most I can sleep. Sometimes depends. I know that probably hurts. I understand that probably hurts. It just depends on the day. Sometimes I'll, you know, do it, but other days I don't. The days I don't, I mean, it doesn't, I'll be honest, it doesn't really make a huge difference in terms of my sleep, though. That's the problem. Like, I still sleep about the same. 5-6 hours is pretty much my norm. Like, I just, I don't know. And I work really weird hours. I fully admit that. Like, you know, I'll be up late tonight working. I'm just a weird night owl, too. I don't like mornings, so I keep really weird hours. I keep like West Coast hours. I always tell people, like, I feel like I work on the West Coast, even though I live on the East Coast. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've never been that way. Like I said, even when I was younger, I just never slept like 8-9 hours a night. I don't know. Never did.
Well, I don't think there's nothing wrong with, you know, being a night owl, but I think you'd see a huge improvement in your life. Everything in your life better with more sleep.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of people say that, and I wish I could. Like I said, I wish I had a better habit of that, but seems like it's doing wonders for you, and that's good to know. So that's your routine. Yeah, so you would not want to hear my routine, trust me. Let's before you get too much into routines, let's talk about some fights, because this past weekend, of course, UFC 286 went down. Leon Edwards officially defended his title for the first time. He got a majority decision over Kamaru Usman. Great fight from both guys. Leon, of course, kind of exercised a lot of demons with this fight, kind of got past the whole fluke. You know, he didn't, it was a fluke knockout, it was a lucky knockout, whatever narrative people were trying to build into it. He went out there and won this time by decision. It was a great performance. And to his credit, Kamaru Usman had a good performance too. He just lost. I thought it was a very close fight. I actually had it scored as a draw only because there was a point deduction, I think the third round, for a fence grab, which even Leon admits it was a bad fence grab. But otherwise, like I said, I thought Leon had the more definitive rounds, but it was a good fight. Leon is the champ. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Leon Edwards is champ now. Is it kind of sunk in now? Like, it's kind of weird. Like, before when he did it, it almost felt like, okay, we're going to run it back. Like, we knew we were going to run it back. But now he's beaten Usman twice. He's putting Usman in the rearview mirror.
It's amazing. I think a lot of people called it wrong. We called it wrong. It was very unexpected. And all we can really say at this point is congratulations to Leon Edwards, right? Like, he not only proved everybody wrong in the first fight, he proved everybody wrong again in the second fight. And he's going to be a tough guy to beat, man. You know, he's just going to be a tough, tough guy to beat. Usman is, one of the greatest ever. I guess I seen a stat the other day, maybe today. The record for fighters over 35 in championship fights, under 185 pounds. And the theory behind that is, like, once, you know, when you're over 185 pounds, start getting the heavier weights, you know, the age doesn't make quite as much of a difference, right? Because the speed is a lot less and different things like that. But it was pretty interesting. 2 and 28.
Yeah, 2 and 28. I saw that.
170. Yeah, under 170 in title fight 5.
Pretty crazy. Pretty
fascinating. Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that. I saw that stat too, and I was kind of curious because Usman is 35 or 36 now. You know who else is 35? And I'm not saying this plays a part. I just, like, I thought it was an interesting stat, so I looked it up. Valentina Shevchenko is 35 now.
Oh, wow.
You know, they called me when I said, I was like, I wonder. And I was like, yep, she's 35 too.
Wow. Yeah. So I think that's pretty interesting, you know, especially being, I mean, this sport hasn't been around that long, and it certainly hasn't had the world-class athletes for that long. I mean, we've always had had Coleman back in the day. You know, he's a world-class athlete. But for the most part, like, it's not necessarily been world-class against world-class guys. And I think we're getting there now a lot more. Like, for instance, in boxing, which has been around for, you know, over 100 years, it's well known. When you're over, you know, 30, maybe even a little less than that, especially the lighter weights, you know, you're way out. There's very few, if any, one of the stats, very few guys that are over that age in boxing, right? In MMA, it hasn't really worked out that way, it doesn't seem. But when I see a stat like that, I'm like, wow, maybe it has that way a little more than we think. And I think it's going to be, as more and more people get into this sport, a higher level athletes get in this sport, I think it's going to be more and more pronounced all the time.
Yeah, I mean, age is the one. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, and I guess to a point it is cliche, but age is the one opponent that's undefeated. You know what I mean? Like, it gets everybody. I mean, that's just the reality. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Kamaru Usman had this precipitous drop off to where he's just suddenly a shell of himself or something. I mean, he lost a majority decision after a fight he was winning, and he got caught with a head kick in the fifth round. It's not like he's gotten dominated and he suddenly just, you know, sucks. But the competition starts to catch up to you a little easier, because I would have swore to you 2 years ago, Usman would have dominated Leon Edwards. He would have gotten all his takedowns and he would have dominated the fight, and he's not done that. And this is not, I don't want to diminish what Leon Edwards has done. I want to be clear about that. But I think there is just that you're not wrong. And like, there's just a weird drop off, you know, when you, cause again, it happens to everybody. I mean, I remember, and this is different with age, but like, and it's heavyweight, but like, I remember the first time Roy Nelson got knocked out. And then suddenly after that, Roy Nelson started getting hurt a lot more. And like, you know what I mean? Like, things just change. Like, you get to a certain age, you don't move the same way. You're not as fast. Your reaction time is just that hair second difference. And especially at this high level, you know what I mean? Like, there is no room for error when you're fighting the best guys in the world in the UFC. And like I said, Usman didn't get dominated this fight. He lost, but he didn't get dominated. But right, you wonder, you know, the takedowns he didn't hit, could it, is it yeah, because maybe he's just a hair bit slower when he wasn't able to put together the combinations to hurt Leon on the feet? Is it just because maybe his reaction time's a little bit slow? Like, not bad, but just, you know, a little bit slower. And guess what? Leon caught up to him. And maybe that's just the reality of where we're at now. And this is not, I think Kamaru Usman has been defined, is in my mind, the second best welterweight in the world in the history of the sport behind GSP. I think George St. Pierre is, you know, clearly now that Usman's had a couple losses like this, I think GSP has kind of separated himself for good. But Usman at number two, I think he's fine there. But yeah, it's like a changing of the guard in a way. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't feel like an upset anymore. Leon Edwards has earned it and he's proven it.
Yeah. And I think the other too is when you take a style like Usman, you know, a wrestling heavy style, like when you're at this age, like, you can't wrestle as much as you could when you were younger. You know what I mean? Like, you can't those kind of hours anymore. So your timing with the rest and the little tiny little nuances that most of us don't even see, even us that know what we're doing, don't even see when we're watching, you know, a lot of those things kind of get lost. Just because, you know, you're not able to go in there and grind in a D1 room. Like, I used to do it all the time. Like, I used to go to Ohio State all the time, 2-3 days a week. There's no way I could do that now. You know, those kids in there, like, their backs are perfectly fine. Like, their knees are solid for the most part, right? And they come back from things quick. if I go in there one day, I'm not a couple of days after, you know. So I don't know how much guys like Usman deal with that. I'm not going to say that, you know, I don't know anything about his camp, but you know, those are the kind of things that make me wonder, you know. You know, or the same with even guys with striking heavy styles. You know, it's like, you know, you take so many shots, right? And any little bit of you got all this confidence when you're young just because you don't know any better. And then as you get a little bit older, you start maybe thinking a little bit more. Yeah, we'll see where Usman goes from here, right? We'll see if age got up to him. He's certainly still a, you know, top three guy. He's certainly still a freaking world-class athlete. He's certainly still one of them ever do it. And, you know, Leon Edwards is just better right now. So it's going to be interesting to see.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andre Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So the other big thing that came out of Saturday night in terms of the welterweight division was the guy who weighed in as the alternate, as the backup, was Colby Covington. We haven't really heard from Colby for about the past year. He obviously got the win over Jorge Masvidal, and then we all know about the incident that happened after their fight, the arrest, the assault case, all that kind of stuff that's still lingering over, you know, in terms of the legal system. Masvidal, of course, is scheduled to fight in a couple of weeks against Gilbert Burns, UFC 287, but Colby kind of popped up out of nowhere after being, you know, basically out of the spotlight for the last year, popped up as the backup for the fight. Of course, he didn't end up fighting, but now he's been declared as the number one contender, and a lot of people have completely lost their minds about this, and I have to a certain extent, because Colby's been out for a year. He's been on a one-fight win streak, with the one win being over Masvidal. He has two losses to Kamaru Usman, yet he's going to get a title shot, and guys like Bilal Muhammad, who's on a much longer winning streak, guys like Gilbert Burns, who has a chance to maybe solidify himself with a win over Masvidal. Even a guy like Shavkat Rakhmonov, who just, you know, looked impressive a couple weeks ago, and he's got wins over guys like Jeff Neal and Neil Magny. A lot of people are not happy that Colby Covington is getting this title shot. Now, if you listen to Colby, he'll say, you know, he's the best guy in the world. He beat Usman, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I say it all the time, Matt, if you want to keep your sanity in this sport, strike the word deserves from your vocabulary, because it'll just lose your mind. Because even though I say, quote unquote, Bilal Muhammad deserves the title shot, you and I both know that's not how things work out. That being said, Colby Covington, Dana White is adamant he's going to get the next title shot. He's the number one contender for whatever reason. I know you don't spend a lot of time thinking about these kind of things, Matt, but I don't know. What was your reaction? Like, because I didn't see a lot of universal, like, I didn't see a lot of praise for this idea. I didn't see a lot of people, even because I know Colby has a lot of haters, but I didn't even see, like, the people who are, like, super team Colby were like, man, he really deserves this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm as surprised as everyone else. I'm just not sure why it makes sense or why they're going to do it. How Bilal Muhammad got passed up is just beyond me. I mean, this guy has done every single thing necessary. we can strike the word deserves down, but he fucking deserves it, right? Like, what else can we say? And I think they're putting him with Biden. Tell me,
Shavkat Rachmanov.
Yeah, Shavkat. Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, this guy Bilal, he's just done everything. I mean, this could have been a championship run that he's on right now. He just doesn't have that belt, right? He's fighting guys like Shavkat and, you know, I mean, done everything. And I think Bilal deserves it. I think everybody agrees. You know, I guess it kind of is what it is. You know, Kobe's going to sell the fight. We're all going to watch. I guess maybe UFC knows that, right? We're going to fucking watch it.
I mean, right? Here's the thing. I don't know. Like, I understand Colby says a lot of crazy things. And Colby is a good fighter. Don't make any mistakes about it. I'm not saying Colby's not a good fighter. He's a damn good fighter. But I don't... where the narrative comes from to, like, he's just this massive draw. Like, has he drawn in fights? Yeah, his fight with Masvidal, big rivalry fight. His fight with Usman, the first one in particular, was a big draw because there was so much bad blood there. And Woodley, you know, that was a, you know, FS1 card or ESPN Plus card, whatever the hell it was at the time, Apex card, whatever. And you know, it was, you know, pretty good, but even by then it kind of lost some of its intrigue and interest because at that point, Woodley had already lost a few in a row and it just didn't seem like the same fight it once was. But I don't know, like, it's just, I don't know, like, there's this like narrative that Colby's this huge draw and he's going to really get people to watch. I mean, do people hate watch Colby? Absolutely. People hate the guy and they want him to lose. And so they watch it. But like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing it. Like, it's not that, I mean, if Colby, all Colby had to do is win one more. I said it on Saturday night. If he would have fought Bilal and won that fight, I'd have zero problem with him getting a title shot. I have absolutely no problem with him getting a title shot. But just being out for a year and a win over Masvidal in a 3-fight losing streak just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't strike me as like, I don't get excited for it. I'm just like, oh boy, I'm just like, whatever. I mean, I guess he's going to get it, so I just kind of learned to live with it, but I don't know. I just don't really see the logic.
Yeah, and I heard Leon basically saying he's going to not accept it or try to fight against it. But I think for Leon, Colby is probably one of the best fights for him. You know, I think Bilal, I think Shavkat, a lot of these other guys are tougher matchups for him. So for Leon, in my opinion, it's a little bit of a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, you may not be wrong. Let me ask you that question just in terms of matchups, because we're not going to get into politics of it necessarily. But, you know, Colby does have a very similar-ish style to Usman in terms of wrestling heavy, you know, push the pace. He's more of a volume striker than a power striker. I think Usman had a lot more power than Colby, but he's kind of a volume striker. But I don't disagree. Now that we've seen what Leon's takedown defense is, and I think Kamaru is a better MMA wrestler than Colby. I know that'll probably make Colby spin off his axis because he was a All-American at Oregon State, and, you know, Kamaru was a Division II national champion or whatever. But I think in terms of MMA wrestling, Kamaru's been a little bit more dominant there. I agree. I think this is a winnable fight for Leon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a better fight for Leon than, like I said, the other guys. I mean, Colby leaves a lot of holes in his game. He certainly has the volume. He certainly comes forward and presses the action a lot. But we don't have any reason to believe. And look, we're shocked every week we watch the fights. You know, we're just on the best we can. I mean, I was very shocked last weekend, but you know, if Usman isn't taking Leon down, I don't think Colby's going to be taking him down. And Colby leaves tons of holes in his stand-up game. And I think Leon's good enough to expose those holes. And so it's going to be a better matchup for Leon. You know, so it's going to be, I think, saying that he's not going to accept this fight, but I think he should, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, I think that, you know, I think Shavkat may end up being the monster in this division when it's all said and done, because I think he's a monster right now. Obviously, I think he's got an incredibly hard test in Bilal. That's what kind of kills me about that fight, is because I think both those guys can be title contenders, and one of them's going to get knocked off. And I think Bilal remains.
I would much rather fight for a title than a fight for a contender.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think like Bilal, you know, like Bilal or Shavkat, one of those guys is going to lose. And in a way, you kind of got to celebrate that because then you don't have to go through both of them right away. Right. Cause I think those are both monsters, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that because I'm never going to use the word easy. Nothing's easy, but like in terms of styles, is Colby an easier fight than going against Bilal or Shavkat?
It seems like it. I was right. It just comes, Leon can deal with that pace. And if he can find those holes, because with that high pace that Colby pushes, like he leaves himself open, right? He's relying on his cardio. He's relying on you just having a barrage of punches and not dealing with that well. I just think Leon will deal holes in the striking particularly and be able to expose him. I don't know if he'll be able to knock him out. And, you know, Colby, again, you know, he could prove us wrong, right? Like, I'm proved wrong all the time on breakdowns, right? Like all the time. And, you know, Colby may be able to take him down, you know, may be able to wear him out, but I'm not seeing it right now.
Yeah. So based on what you've seen, you would pick Leon to win that fight.
Yeah. And I think your favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I agree. Here's the thing that kills me. Like I said, even though I've said don't use the word deserves, I just feel bad for Bilal because Bilal deserves it. He does. Like, he's the guy who should be here. He's earned it. He's on like a 9-fight win streak. He has a story with Leon. They had an unsolved, you know, they had that no contest fight a couple years ago. They never got to go back and rematch it. He's got, I mean, he knocks out Sean Brady. He beats Vicente Luque. He avenges that loss. He just, I don't know. That's what breaks my heart about this whole thing is I think Bilal is the most deserving guy. But when you talk about the matchup, you're not wrong. I mean, I think Leon's got a great chance of beating Colby. And I, again, when I say easier, I don't mean that as a knock. I'm just saying, like, if you give me Leon and Bilal or Leon and Shavkat, it's a toss up. You know, I can't tell you, but you put Leon against Colby, I lean Leon. Like, I'm not saying it's a blowout, and I'm not saying it's like a, you know, one sided fight and the odds are going to be astronomically in Leon's favor. I'm just saying that I would feel more confident picking Leon against Colby then I definitely would pick in Leon against Bilal and or Shavkat.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I said, I think Leon will end up being the favorite in that fight. And, you know, like I said, we'll all watch the fight. You know, that's what it comes down to, right? We know Colby's going to make it a fun fight. He's going to make it a fun press conference to lead up to it. Like, there's going to be, he say some off the wall crazy shit. You know, I know what's going to happen. Like, we're going to watch the fight. We're going to be excited. And Colby definitely has a great chance to win that fight. I mean, his style, I think against anyone, gives pretty much anybody problems. I just think, you know, Leon's going to be the favorite, and I think that it's rightfully so.
Yeah. Well, and listen, you know, at the end of the day, you're here to make money. You're here to, you know, go out and do your thing and make money and get attention. And Colby will bring that. I disagree with the idea that Colby's like this massive draw necessarily. Not that anyone's like out there saying he's, you know, Conor McGregor in terms of draw, but I think he's had a couple of big rivalry fights that have been draws. He kind of reminds me, it's funny I say this, reminds me a little bit of Jon Jones when Jon Jones was fighting, where Jon Jones would draw huge when he had a great rivalry. But then when he fought other guys, it was just kind of like people were like, eh. You know, we're not all that interested in it. And I think Colby's got a little bit of that in him where, like, when he fought Lawler, the ratings for that card, for that TV, I think that was on ESPN or ABC. I can't remember which one it was, but the ratings were not good. They were not great ratings. Mm. People were not super excited because he was fighting Robbie's a legend, but Robbie's not going to play Colby's game. Robbie's not going to get all amped up and, you know, get in his face and shove him and, you know, call him this. And, you know, he's not going to do that. It's Robbie Lawler. He's an old school legend. He's not going to do that kind of crap. And so Colby kind of disarms Colby from having that kind of, you know, that kind of rivalry that he had with Usman and that he had with Jorge, obviously, and Tyron Woodley for that matter. Will he have that with Leon? Will Leon fire back at him more? Yeah, because Leon's not my dude. Leon's quietly not bad at trash talk. He had a couple of good zingers on Usman last week. So I think he can have some moments with that. And again, I don't disagree. As much as I think Bilal is kind of the guy getting screwed in all this, I mean, I legitimately feel bad for Bilal Muhammad. You're not wrong in thinking that if you're going to go out and defend your title and get a big title defense and get a big payday, so yeah, not necessarily easier, but you know, know, maybe not as hard. I don't know. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you should just take the Colby fight and consider that the one. Maybe I'm gonna say again. I hate using the word easier. It's the wrong word. It's just not as hard as Bilal or Shavkat right now.
Yeah, better stylistic matchup. But then again, I mean, he already fought Bilal too, and he knows Bilal. He knows his, and he was winning that fight very soundly before the with the eye pokes. Right, that's what happened.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, I mean, listen. You know, I sit here and say it all the time. Don't get upset. Don't you strike the word deserves from your vocabulary. And here I am, you know, saying it and then getting pissy about a guy that I don't think deserves a title shot. So listen, as much as I want to say that it's stupid. And again, the only problem I have with this whole thing isn't necessarily that Colby's getting the title shot. It's that Bilal is not, you know what I mean? Like Bilal is legitimately the number one contender. He should be getting the shot. And if he didn't exist, then I really don't care at this point, because there's no other guy. You know, Gilbert Burns is on a one fight win streak. Masvidal's off three losses. I think Shavkat is near there, but he's not quite there yet. So I think otherwise you don't really have an argument. But Colby's there, but while Bilal is there on a 9-fight win streak, it just feels like, man, like this, it was like Back when Nick Diaz got a title shot against George St. Pierre when Johnny Hendricks was on like a 7-fight win streak or whatever, and he beaten everybody and he looked incredible, looked like he was the guy. And then Diaz gets the title shot because was it a bigger fight? Absolutely, it was a bigger fight. Diaz is Nick Diaz is a freaking legend and everyone loves Nick Diaz. But did he deserve it, quote unquote, over Johnny Hendricks? Absolutely not. But he still got it, and that's another one where I say just strike the word deserves from your vocabulary, because that's another one. I felt legitimately bad for Johnny Hendricks. He eventually got his shot. He beat GSP. Judges said otherwise, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, but there's just no guarantees in this sport. Like I said, what if Bilal goes out and fights Shavkat and loses? Then it all goes away. So, yeah, it is what it is. I just feel bad for Bilal. You know, if he loses to Shavkat, it all goes away. And then I just feel bad for the guy. And like I said, you know, title shots, you know, they don't grow on trees. You might get one. You may never get one again. You know, that's just the nature of the sport.
Yeah, and I think you made a perfect point there where it's not that, you know, all these guys aren't worthy to be fighting for a championship, but Bilal has done the most. He deserves it the most. So if we're not striking the word deserve from our vocabulary, Bilal deserves it. The other guys, you know, maybe, you know, like I said, they're worthy of fighting for a championship. Colby absolutely is. But, you know, when you got a guy on a 8-fight win streak, right, or 9-fight, you know,
versus
a guy coming off a loss. And, you know, it's like, it just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, we all just do what we got to do and listen to what the UFC wants to do. They're the promoter. It's their choice.
Yeah, that's true. Real quick before we get out of here, of course, UFC 286 also featured another fight. Justin Gaethje went out there, by the way. I should have bet you on that one because I picked Gaethje, you picked Fazeev, and I came through on that one. But Fazeev put up a hell of a fight. What an incredible battle it was. But Justin Gaethje got the job done, got the decision, and now he's out there. You know, Justin's being honest and saying he probably doesn't have a lot of time left in the sport. He wants to make one last run at the title. I think it's probably a foregone conclusion as far as what's next for him, but I'll throw it out there. We got to see Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier too. I think that's the only fight that makes sense. Their first fight was a freaking epic, amazing fight. Dustin doesn't have anyone to fight right now. Justin just came off a big fight. Obviously, Beneil Dariush is fighting Charles Oliveira. Islam is probably not coming back till October when they go to Abu Dhabi. So to me, it's Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje. I don't think anything else makes sense unless something weird happens, but I think that's the matchup to make.
That's badass. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's a great matchup. I want to see it. I mean, whether I fought once, but I would love to see it again. So I think it's perfect. And look, Gaethje absolutely proved me wrong. I picked Fazeev to beat him. And I thought that, especially standing on the feet, like Fazeev is so technical, he's so sharp. I thought that Gaethje didn't have a good shot there, but he fucking proved me wrong, man. Like, what a savage. Like, you just can't say enough good things about Justin Gaethje. This guy is just a epitome of a savage warrior. And, you know, if shit ever hits the fan and we go to a world war, like, I want Gaethje on my side, you know, like, You want him on the front lines right there with you, man. Like, that guy is just a great fucking guy, man. Like, I hope he's not mad at me for picking against him, because I love that guy, man. And the one of the funnest guys to watch, and just deserves everything that he gets, every
Yeah.
good thing.
Let me ask you this, Matt, because I put out this stat on Twitter yesterday. I said Justin Gaethje threw 11 fights in the UFC. He has now earned 11 post-fight bonuses, 4 performance bonuses, and 7 fight of the nights. The Fiziev fight, of course, was his latest fight of the night. Now, based on the average, you know, what the normal bonuses are, that's $550,000 he's earned in bonuses, which sounds on the surface like a lot of money. But when you really think about the damage he puts on his body and all the things like that, I said he probably deserves 10 times that amount, you know, that amount of money, $5.5 million for all the work he went through. I'm curious, Matt, now you're a guy, you've gotten your fair share of post-fight bonuses, and I know you appreciate all of them. I want to make this clear. I'm not trying to make it sound like you're painting the UFC in a bad light, but I want to ask you this legitimate question. I've had this idea. I put it on Twitter today, responding to somebody. I think the UFC should switch to a bonus system like this: a finish bonus. Everybody on the card who gets a finish gets some sort of bonus, 25, let's say $25,000. And then you pick out fight of the night and 2 performance bonuses, like extraordinary bonuses, whatever, and they all get $100,000. That was my idea. Everyone who gets a finish should get an automatic bonus, whether it's $25,000, $50,000. And then you pick out fight of the night and then like the 2 really outstanding performances, and they all get $100,000. Now, I know I'm just spending the UFC's money, but we both know they can afford it. But let me just ask about the finish bonus. Let's not even get into like the numbers of it all. Am I wrong in thinking at this stage in the game, in 2023, where, you know, a lot of fighters, yourself included, probably, you know, you got on a win and a show and a win bonus structure, which I already hate. I hate that structure. I think it'd just be a flat fee. I don't like the show win bonus, but that's neither here nor there. Am I wrong in thinking that at worst, the UFC should go to a bonus structure where everyone who gets a finish should get a guaranteed bonus? Because I think you would then get guys and girls willing to push a little bit extra to get that finish. And we wouldn't have this constant battle of people being like, I deserve 50 grand. I deserve 50 grand. Give me the 50 grand. If you finish your opponent, you get the bonus.
Yeah, well, I guess then they'd be battling over the 100 grand, right? but no, I think it's a great idea. And you know, I don't know how other people think when they're in the octagon, but like, I'm looking for a finish the whole time anyway. And I'm not thinking about money at all while I'm in there fighting. I'm not thinking like, oh, I'm gonna go for this because it's $50,000 extra dollars possibly. But I would like to see that, mainly, like, I don't know how many times. Okay, I've made a few bonuses in my life. I don't know the exact number, but I don't know how many times I thought I was going to get the bonus and, you know, someone just eked it out over me, and then I end up with nothing, you know, or whatever locker room bonus, you know, which it's not $50,000 for me, at least. I don't know what the other guys are getting, but I'm not getting 50K. So for that, yeah, I think, you know, there should be something for that. And I think guys would, again, maybe not during the fight itself, like be thinking, oh, I'm going to go for the finish right now for this. But mentally, overall, like, people, fighters are going to think about that, and they're going to try to train more and fight more for the finish. So I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I just think that, I mean, will the UFC have to pay out a lot more money sometimes? Sure, there's going to be cards where on a 12 fight card, you're going to get 8 finishes. But there's also a lot of cards where there's 12 fights and there's like 4 finishes or 3 finishes. You know what I mean? Like, not every card features that. And I just think that in this day and age, it should be a finish bonus because, you know, listen, it's just to the arbitrary nature of it, to where, you know, I think one guy deserves a bonus over the other. You know, that just doesn't, that's not fair. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, like, and yeah. it's like being on a card with, like, being on a card with Justin Gaethje and you want fight of the night. Well, guess what? The chances you get in fight of the night when he's on the card are next to nothing, but that doesn't mean you can't put on a freaking barn burner and then get a knockout in the third round. And because they said, well, you know what? We're going to give him the fight of the night and somebody got a really cool submission, they get performance tonight. Then you get nothing. You know, like, I think finish bonuses, at least that's a little extra incentive. And it just like, imagine if you're the contender series guy making 10,000 to fight and 10,000 to win. You go out there and knock out your opponent, vicious knockout, great highlight, but you don't get the bonus. But guess what? You get to go home with $70,000 because you got the $50K for the finish bonus. You know what I mean? Like little things like that, man. Like, I'm not looking at your record right now, Matt, but I guarantee if I went up and down your UFC record, you got bonuses. I don't know how many you got, 6, 7, whatever, 8, 9. I don't know what the total number is. But how many finishes do you have in the UFC? And how much of the money would that have equated to for you over your career? You know, that's like, was that probably an extra, what, $600,000-$700,000 maybe you could have made, or $500,000?
Yeah, who knows? Like I said, I think it's a great idea because also, like you said, if you're on a fight with, you're on a fight card with Justin Gaethje, you pretty much, you lost, right? But if you go out there and put on an amazing performance, go out there and finish someone right away, like you should be rewarded for it in some fashion, you know, and to have, you know, a locker room bonus that you don't really know what you're going to get versus having something that you know you're going to get, I think is a great thing. I mean, I think everybody should be rewarded for putting on great performances, whether it's a fight of the night or whether it's a, you know, submission or a knockout or a finish, you know, whatever it is. I absolutely think they should be rewarded for it. And it's surprising that they don't already do that, as a matter of fact, because it's, that's what they want, right? That's what the fans want. So it is kind of surprising that they don't already do that.
Yeah, there's a guy on Saturday night. His name is Yanel Eshmoos was his name. And he went out there and fought this guy named Sam Patterson. Vicious first round knockout. I mean, he just went that afterwards. Sam Patterson was trying to fight the referee because he was so knocked out that when he got back to his feet, he thought the fight was still happening. It was that kind of knockout. You know what I'm talking about, Matt. He didn't get the bonus. Now I don't have a problem with who did get the bonus. Gunnar Nelson got a really cool bonus because he pulled off a nasty armbar. It was a really cool submission. And then Jake Hadley got one on the prelims. He had a body shot KO. I love body shot KOs. Those are always fun. He got a body shot KO. I have no problem with those bonuses. They're both really cool. But then Yanel Eshmoos, new guy, comes in, pulls off an incredible knockout in the first round. He gets nothing. Muhammad Makhachev fights out of a knee bar where his knee literally got shredded. He got one of the nastiest knee bars put on him. He came back, choked the guy out. He doesn't get anything. Like, that's what bugs me. Like, they fight, they have these amazing performances. Those two guys walk away with nothing.
Then again, they get, you know, probably a locker room bonus, and I don't know what that is. You know, I know what it looks like for me. I don't know what it looks like for other guys. But it's not, you know, again, it's not 50,000. It's not 25,000.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, if you're not going to do $50,000, do $25,000. I guarantee you that's still going to be a lot of money to people who do it. I mean, $25,000 performance bonuses and then, or $25,000 finish bonuses. And if you want to keep the $50,000 performance of the night and fight of the night, I'm quite sure the UFC can afford it.
Yeah. And especially for these young guys coming up that making 10 and 10 or 20 and 20 or something, like an extra $25K, that pays your taxes there. You know, like that's a significant amount to these guys.
Absolutely. I think in the age we're in, you know, we talk about money all the time, and I'm not going to get on a big rant and get on my soapbox about what fighters get paid, because I think all fighters are underpaid for what you put your bodies through and the dangers you take stepping in there. You should be making, you know, in my opinion, what, you know, football players make when, you know, they put their bodies on the line. I think they probably deserve more than they get too, but, that's a whole other, I'm not trying to get in that pay conversation, but I'm just saying in that regard, like, you know what I mean? Like, that bugs me that those two guys, just use that as an example. Those two guys don't get bonuses just because they didn't get picked. You know, they didn't do anything wrong. It's not like, it's not like Muhammad's.
No, they did right, actually. They went out there and did what they were supposed to do, did in spectacular fashion, did what the UFC wants, you know, and it doesn't equal anything monetarily for them though.
Yeah. So finish bonuses. I think they should get it going.
I love it, bro.
Real quick before we get out of here, Matt, we do have a big bantamweight fight coming up this weekend. Chito Vera and Corey Sandhagen, a guy you know very well. I think you trained with Corey a little bit out in Colorado. Like both guys very much. I'll be the first to admit I've known Corey longer. I've interviewed him a bunch more times, but I think Chito Vera is a monster. But big main event. I'm actually going to miss it this weekend. I'm actually going to be out of town this weekend, so I'm going to have to watch it on replay. Who are you picking, Matt? Corey or Chito Vera?
Boy, that's a tough one, man. You know, I picked against Chito a couple times, and I've been wrong every time, man. He keeps surprising, and he just does so many of the fundamentals so well, and he just finds a way. He's got all the heart of a champion, and Certainly, he's that guy that finds a way, man. So, but I, like I said, I, like you said, I've known Corey for a long time. I know his skill set. I know he's capable of amazing things. I don't have a pick in this one. I don't know how it's going to go. This is one of those few fights where I'll admit that I just don't know.
Wow. Sitting on that fence, sitting hard on that fence, Matt Brown.
Hard on the fence, bro. It's just a tough one, man.
It is. But I'm going to make a pick because one of us has to make a pick, and I'm going to go. I'm going to lean towards Corey Sandhagen. I think he has more ways to win this fight. He's a little more dynamic on the feet, and I think that, in my opinion, at any given moment, Corey Sandhagen is the best bantamweight in the sport. I know he's lost fights and he's not there. I'm just saying, like, at any moment, he could be. Like, that's how good I think Corey Sandhagen is. He lost to Peter Yan, legitimately, you know, lost that fight. But I thought he beat TJ Dillashaw. I didn't like that decision at all. I thought he beat TJ. I don't know. I just think round over round, Corey has that ability. I think Cheeto, the one small criticism I would have of him is I think at times he'll lose rounds and then depend on his power to bring him back into it. You know, he was maybe losing a little bit to Dominic Cruz and then he caught the head kick and, you know, credit to him doing it. But what happens when that doesn't land? If you don't land that head kick, can you win five rounds? Can you win three rounds in a five round fight? That kind of thing. I have faith that Corey Sandhagen can do it. I have a little more question about Cheeto. Can he do it? So I'm going to lean Corey Sandhagen. If Cheeto wins by knockout, vicious, whatever, I will not be the least bit surprised. I think Cheeto Vera is amazing. But if you got to nail me down on a pick, I'm going to lean a little bit towards Corey Sandhagen.
And I think most of the time I would agree right there with you, but Cheeto has just never failed to surprise me every single time. He's one of those guys. He finds a way. He's got the heart. He's got the power. He's got just so many of these intangibles that, you know, when you watch him fight, you don't see, right? Like you can't write it down on paper, you know, like this versus this. So he just has some of those factors that I can't quantify. So that's why I'm on the fence with it. And I just think it's going to be an amazing fight and I'm excited to see it, but I can't pick one of these guys, man. I just can't bring myself to it.
All right. That's all right. You can chicken out. It's all right, Matt. You know, you don't want to pick a fight. Yeah, geez. Is it the Gaethje thing coming back to bite you a little bit? You picked against him. Now you're feeling it a little bit. You feeling that heat?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, man. Maybe I'm just feeling getting down on myself. yeah, probably a little bit of that, to be honest. But you know, like I said, if I'd never seen Cheeto fight, I don't know, how would you say it? Like, just on paper, like, I would pick Corey, but again, yeah. Cheeto just has he just has that way of doing it. You know, he's got that heart, just these things that he's able to pull out, and I think that's a special quality to have that you can't teach someone. I think that's what a special quality to have that can't be trained or taught. It's something that he just has within himself, an indomitable will, whatever it is, man. And he finds a way.
He has those intangibles, as we like to call them, those little intangibles that you don't teach. You're not necessarily learning in the gym. He's just a monster. Yeah, I love this fight, man. I'm glad they're doing it in front of a crowd, too, by the way, in San Antonio. So I think that's really cool because this is going to be a barn burner of a fight. I'm bummed I'm going to miss it live, but I'm going to rewatch it as soon as I get home. I can't wait for that. So I'm looking forward to that this weekend. Of course, we'll be back next Monday to talk more about that fight. Obviously, we actually have a week between UFC events because next weekend there's that Game Bred boxing event. Jose Aldo boxing Jeremy Stevens, Roy Jones against Anthony Pettis. And then after that, of course, we go into UFC 287 with the fight you and I are both looking forward to, Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira 2, and of course, Gilbert Burns and Jorge Masvidal. So that's going to be a big card. So we're going to talk a lot about that over the next couple of weeks. Matt, before we get out of here, sponsors, people you should check out. You got Fight Camp going. Where can people support you?
Man, you know how it is, bro. They can get on Instagram, Twitter, at I'm the Immortal. They can hit me up and check out my sponsor routine, ROOTINE.co. One of the best sponsors. They help me out with a little bit of everything. And, you know, I hope everybody takes the time to check them out because they're great for you. It's a multivitamin that's built specifically for your body, precision, nutrition. And what else said? The Immortal Coffee, theimmortalcoffee.com. Check them out, man. Best coffee you ever had.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Of course, check us out on all of your favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, over on the best website in the world, MMAfighting.com. For Matt Brown, I'm Damon Martin. We will see you next week for another edition of The Fighter versus The Writer. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you then.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.